This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. Happy Friday. I am actually recording this on Friday morning, bright and early here in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm back at my parents' house. I'm on the front porch. It's super early for me. I've been up since like 6, but it's 8 o'clock in the morning and Central time zone. I was supposed to do this podcast last night. I had every intention to do it then. And you know, things happened. I got home pretty late from traveling all day, coming back from Los Angeles. And yesterday was up and down in terms of my mood. I tend to feel that way after a big day of work or a big appearance, especially one that didn't air right away. Like usually when you do the Joe Rogan Experience, you are in there, and as soon as you, it's live, and so as soon as you're done, it's done. There's no second guessing it. It's out there. Move on with your life, Nikki. However, I left a studio. It was not live, and then I just waited and waited and waited and was like, had so much time to go, oh, wait, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, no, people are going to hear this. Oh, no, no, and just spiraling thoughts, thinking I didn't do a good job, thinking I should have said this then. I should have been more interesting. Why was I wasn't as funny as I could have been. Why did I wear that shirt? Just countless thoughts and panicking and just feeling, you know, all over the place as I have been in recent weeks. I mean, it's not been an easy mental journey throughout COVID, which after I, you know, the podcast came out with Joe Rogan where I talked about being depressed. And I talk about it on here all the time. If you're new to this podcast, welcome to Spiraling with Nikki Glaser. It's my new name for it. Sorry if this is the recorder's popping. Welcome to Spiraling with Nikki Glaser. I'm Nikki Glaser, and things are up and down. I just got a mood tracker on my phone that's going to check in with me 3 times a day to see how I'm feeling between great and miserable. It's so great because then it graphs it and it shows you when you're like up and down. I can't wait to like log a couple weeks in it and just see where I'm at because it really does change hourly. Because, yeah, I got home yesterday and I was really struggling all day. I flew. I had a connection. I kept waiting for the podcast to drop. It wasn't dropping yet. I was tired. I was going back to St. Louis after I had a fun time in LA and I felt like in the mix and I'm like, I'm going back home. I have a tour coming up. Just everything. I have notes to give on this scripted thing. I have to write this song that my dad and I are parodying, which actually was really fun. And I finished it on the plane and it's insane. My dad and I, when we go on tour next week, August 27th, Thursday, this coming Thursday through Saturday, we're going to be performing a cover of a song and I changed the lyrics to it and it's really, really funny and really fucking weird. And I'm excited for people to hear it. And I sang it to him last night and he was just like shaking his head like, I can't, are we really going to sing this? And I'm like, yes, yes, we are. So that'll be fun. It really reminded me of, I'm twisted. It reminded me of one time in sixth grade. I'll never forget. My dad was like helping me with a creative writing assignment. We had to write. We were reading some book. It was probably The Giver, which is a great book. And we had to write an extra chapter to it. And I wrote a scene that I don't remember exactly what happened in the scene. I do actually. That's a lie. I remember what happened, but it's so weird. I don't want to share it with you. And I feel so ashamed about it because my dad was like, you can't turn this in. This is like, this is really off. This is mean and really cruel. And why would you think of things like this? And I recalled that yesterday in his response to the song I wrote. But this time I'm like, well, this has worked for me so far. In sixth grade, I didn't have a lot to back it up of like, no, Dad, actually, I know this is disturbing, but people seem to it resonates with people. Can I just say one of my biggest pet peeves, I almost just did it, is when people say I resonated with that. That's not how you say that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm almost positive if something can resonate with you, but you can't resonate with something unless that thing, like, say you're resonating with your friend, then your friend must tell you, like, whatever you're saying right now, like, I resonated with a lot of people on Joe Rogan yesterday because people related to me, not because I related to them. A lot of people will be like, I really resonated with what you said. And I'm like, no, you didn't. That's not how you say that. It resonated with me. It's like in French. I always remember when you miss something in French, like, you don't say, I miss him. You say, he is missed by me. Je me manque is like, I miss myself. Wait, je te manque is I miss you. Wait, I am missed by you. You missed me is je, which is really I. Does it make sense? Shut up, Nikki. And that's probably wrong. It's like one thing I remember from French. Je suis désolée. I digress. I don't know how to say that in French. Je digresse, I'm guessing. That's probably right. So anyway, I got home yesterday from the journey. My parents didn't pick me up from the airport. I had a car service. On the way, I was getting... Once I landed, so I was in Dallas on a layover. It still hadn't posted. Or maybe it just posted. But then it takes like 3 hours for people to fucking listen to it. So you like kind of wait for the response. And it was great because Noah, my producer, started listening right away. Carlisle, one of my best friends, started listening right away. And they were like, dude, it's great. You know, they were just assuaging all of my fears. And it was so nice. But, you know, the popular response I hadn't gotten yet. And so I was kind of just like waiting and like refreshing my DMs, just seeing what the general vibe was. And it was really nice. It was really overwhelmingly nice and positive. And thank God, because, you know, so often I do these things and they're, you know, by all accounts, like anyone that would watch it would be like, that's a home run. But to me, before I hear that it's a home run, I think it's like a D minus. So I definitely have podcast performance dysmorphia. And so I just don't see it clearly. I don't know what I've done until I get the feedback. And then, of course, this morning I read a fucking comment or someone wrote to me. I'm going to do a Q&A here in a second that I posted on my Instagram yesterday. So many people wrote questions, but one person wrote, is Joe Rogan going to defend you in these comments because you're getting destroyed? And I was just like, really? You got to tell me that. Like, all I'm getting is positive. Like, honestly, I did not get one negative thing written to me. And I got probably 1,000 messages yesterday. I mean, it's just so nice, overwhelmingly kind, and people just saying that they appreciate my honesty and they were laughing so hard, and it was just so nice to hear, because truth be told, I've been feeling real not funny recently. Like, you know, I talked about it on Joe Rogan, like, I feel like just, I don't know, sorry, dogs are barking. I just apologize for every barking dog in the world. It's all my fault. Yeah, I've just been feeling out of it recently and I've lost some of it. And yesterday I made the mistake I think what really triggered me yesterday on my journey home was I was like, you know what, Nikki, go back and listen to an old set of yours from like January before the world went under. And I just picked a random set because I used, you know, I would do like 3 sets a night. So they're all recorded in my phone. And I just randomly picked one. And I did well, like the audience liked me, but I was like, you suck. Like, these jokes are sloppy. You're all over the place. You sound crazy. And maybe that's my brand. I don't know. I just, I was, I was hope that was my biggest fear is like, I don't like listening to myself because I'm like, I'm not going to like it. And people always go, no, listen to yourself. You're so great. You just, you have to watch yourself. And I'm like, you don't understand. It's like, I hold myself to a higher standard than maybe you do. And so I tend to disappoint myself. So I was just kind of reeling from that, being like, oh my God, even in January, I wasn't good enough. And so how, now what am I going to be like? Just nervous about this tour. But I do have I have some plans in place. I have a ton of jokes that I haven't done in any special that are really worked out and good stories. And I have a song with my dad. I'm going to do roast jokes that I haven't done before. Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm actually looking forward to it, getting on the road, being active, doing something, going out there. So get tickets to those shows next week. I've told you the dates a million times. If you need to know them again, go to my website, nikkiglaser.com/tour. So anyway, I got home yesterday, and I was feeling actually great because I was reading all these comments on the drive home. I posted on my Instagram story, hey, I'm about to do my podcast. Send me questions. I didn't get that one thing about the comments, which, by the way, I don't read any comments, so never write to me about people commenting things. I don't read any comments. I would never, ever go to the YouTube of, and you don't go there either. Because I know people are like, I want to go and read and get mad at those comments. They actually make you change your mind about me. If you like me, you'll go there and you'll read them and you might be like, oh, that person has a good point. So I don't want to steer you to them. Don't go defend me. I don't need it. Don't go look at them. They're just, it just will make you, it'll make you so sad about how much people hate any woman with, you know, they're just going to say that all I talk about is sex. I mean, I know what the comments are going to be. She's one note. All she talks about is sex. That's she has nothing else funny to say. She's a dumb twat. Like, they're just going to be so mean. I can already predict. And by the way, I already say those things to myself every day. I don't need to hear them in comment form. It's like, I would be better at cyberbullying myself than anyone else on the internet. They're pretty much just reading my subconscious. It's like my brain is already producing YouTube comments constantly about myself. So, but I got home and I was so excited to do the podcast and be done with my long day. And all of a sudden my mood had changed because I was getting all these, you know, nice comments. And they weren't like comments like, you're like, I don't mean to say that my mood is based upon whether or not people like me, but the fact that I made people feel so good and like changed people's moods, not just made them laugh, but like made them feel less alone. Like that really hit me in a way that was like, okay, what I'm doing is important. Forget whether or not I'm funny. Because today you're definitely convinced yourself that you're not funny and you never will be and you never have been, but you're helping people even when you're not funny. And so I was in a good mood and then I came in the door and my dogs like attacked me. They were so excited and I took an Instagram video of it. And if you watch it, at the very end of it, I scream because my dog Wiley, my parents' big dog, stepped on my hair because I was laying down and he ripped out like 35 strands is what I'm going to say. If you listen to the podcast, you know what a freak I am about my hair. All I do is try to not have my hair fall out because I already feel like it's falling out constantly. And he ripped out my hair and I could not handle it, you guys. It was not good. My parents were not here when it happened. You would have thought, I mean, I think I would have preferred he bite off my ear. I'm not joking when I say that. That's how insane I am about my hair. I would rather my dog rip off my ear because at least then I'm a girl without an ear and it's kind of funny and like I can have it reattached eventually and it's like a good story. 35 hairs. It takes like 5 years to grow those back. I don't have those to spare. And I'm not joking when I say this. It sounds like hyperbole, like I'd rather him rip off my ear. If you were like, Nikki, we're either going to rip out 35 of your hairs right now or you're going to have your ear ripped off. The pain would be like actually ripping off your ear. I heard a story one time where a guy was playing with his dog and the dog like was just like roughhousing and accidentally ripped off the guy's ear. And the guy didn't know that his ear was ripped off until he was like, what are you chewing on? Like a little bit later and like saw the ear in the dog's mouth. I think there was blood too. And he was probably like, what? And he couldn't really hear the chewing as well either. Or maybe you could hear better. No, ears make you hear better. Without an ear, it would just be, you wouldn't have like the little like, you know, the thing that's on the old, the RCA logo. What are those things called? Don't DM me. I really don't care. The record player with a little, you get it. That's what an ear is. Which came first, that record player RCA logo with the dog or the ear? So anyway, sorry for that. Like I said, lost it. Don't know if I'll ever get it back. I'm talking about my ear. So anyway, so I panicked and I couldn't stop like being mad at myself. Why did I lay down? Why did I let Wiley step on me? That was so stupid. All I do is try to be so gentle with my hair. I started beating myself up. Like, you're such an idiot. I mean, it was the same thing that I did when I spilled water on my computer in 2013 and spilled a huge glass of water all over my brand new laptop. And I was just so mad at myself. And so, like, you're such an idiot. I called my mom and she goes, why would you leave water next to your brand new laptop? And of course, my parents got home from getting dinner, and I told them, I'm like, Wiley just stepped on my hair, and they're like, oh God, and why would you let him step on you? You know he's a big lumbering, and it's just like, okay, well, that's not helping. Yep, okay, yep, I don't know. I don't know why, because I'm a big, dumb daughter. I don't know, it's not a helpful thing to say to people when they're going through something is, why would you do that? It isn't. Do you think I wanted to do that? I don't know why I did it. I won't do it again. So I freaked out and I couldn't do the podcast. I literally was like, it sent me into I wasn't even going to tell you about it because it was so embarrassing how I reacted. But my parents were both like, are you kidding me with this? Because I'm sobbing and I'm like, I hate my hair. I know it's all I do is try to, I was just inconsolable. I mean, obviously it was not about my hair. It was just about everything. COVID, my career, picking out a car, men, women, Trump. It's just all about fucking Trump. Let me be honest with you. So anyway, I went for a run because I had to get out because my parents were like, you are not fun to be around. They were like, I was in a good mood. Like right before it happened, I was in a really good mood. And they were like, we were too. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm going to step out. So I went for a run. I called Anya and I cried the whole time. And then I came home and I went to talk to my mom. My dad was on like a Zoom happy hour, which is a new thing for him. And I went into the living room and I talked to my mom. And I was just like, I really am sad and depressed and I'm going through a really hard time and I didn't say I need you to be nicer, but I was just like, I just was like crying instead of being a bitch and being like, fucking Wiley, my hair. I just like cried and she was really, really nice. And it was like, honestly, I'm grateful that it happened. Can I twist it around? I'm grateful that I freaked out. I'm grateful that Wiley stepped on my hair. Grateful I even have hair anxiety to begin with because my mom and I had like a really touching moment where she like really helped me and she touched my arm. My mom and I don't really like hug unless I'm like leaving somewhere, but she like tried to like touch me and console me even though I was sweaty from my run. It was really sweet. And then I texted Noah, my producer, and I was like, hey, can I not do the podcast? Or I said, it's going to be a while till I get the podcast out tonight. And she was like, just wait till tomorrow. And so here we are. And then I had a really nice night. We watched the DNC. Watched Joe Biden speak and incredibly moved by that whole night of speeches, hearing about him, what kind of grandfather he is, what kind of father he was, what kind of public servant he's been. I had no idea that his first wife died and he lost a child in that car accident too, where he lost his wife. I mean, like, I had no idea. it was really, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus was hosting it and just fucking being hilarious. And then it was just like a nice night because it felt, I don't know, I kind of felt the same way that I felt around when like Obama, back in 2008, like I felt hope for the first time. And maybe it was the editing of the people that put the packages together talking about him and his son. And, I don't know what it was, but I felt hope and it was a really great, I don't know. I didn't think it was possible to feel this hopeful. So, oh my God, please vote. Please, please, please vote. And with that, I'm going to answer a lot of questions when we get back.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Still on the front porch, sipping a nice coffee. Let's get in some questions. I asked yesterday on my Instagram, and by the way, I was doing a Britney Spears impression for those of you who were like, what the fuck are you doing right now? I'll play it for you, just in case you didn't know, and you're listening to the podcast and you don't follow me on Instagram. So this is my...
I'm about to tape my podcast, You Up with Nikki Glaser. It'll come out tomorrow. And I'm wondering if you have any questions for me. If you do, submit them below, and I may answer them on the podcast tomorrow. You Up with Nikki Glaser.
Okay, so that was... Oh, you want to hear the dog step on my... Listen to me scream at this. This is the dog stepping on my hair.
Did you hear me on Joe Rogan? Is that why you like me more today? Hi, I'm home. Oh, puppy.
Ah. Did you hear... That was the last moment I was happy. You just heard. No. I'm happy again. Today's a new day and I feel so much better. Thank you, Xanax. No, seriously, I took a Xanax because I was freaking out so much and really, really helped me out. I'm not going to lie. But I am getting on new antidepressants very soon. I'm very excited. I have an appointment on Wednesday. And that'll be great. What else do I have going on this weekend? Tonight, what is it, Friday? I'm going to be at the Funny Bone in St. Louis all weekend doing shows in a mask, if you want to come out to that. Today's a full fucking day. Jesus Christ. I'm going to look at an apartment, a furnished apartment. Might get my own space. I have a singing lesson because I'm going to learn the song that my dad and I are going to sing and also some other stuff. And I also am going to try to learn how to skateboard. My brother-in-law left his longboard here. I mean, it's a long-ass skateboard. I don't know if it's called a longboard. I don't know the nomenclature for boarding. And I don't think it's called boarding. But I've never learned how to skateboard. I've never had the confidence to do it. I think I did it once as a kid and fell and was so scared. And then one time I heard about an adult woman, like, being on a skateboard. And she was just, you know, like, fucking around and never been on one. And she died from a brain injury. So I'm going to wear a helmet. And I'm just going to go out and try it today because it just looks so fun. Every time I see someone skateboarding, I'm like, that is who I want to be. So new hobby alert. Okay, let's get to your questions. Thank you so much for submitting all these. I'm going to try to do rapid fire, but you know me and that probably won't happen. Who would you include in a dream lineup be for a comedy tour? Okay, I think we know what Kyle White 92 meant. Okay. My dream lineup in a comedy tour. Okay, based on people I want to hang out with or people I want to see do comedy and including myself. I would like to perform with friends. So I think like Natasha Leggero, Little Esther, Rachel Feinstein, Schumer, Lizzie Cooperman. I mean, but like, you can't have a tour with this many people. So if I like had to choose a tour now, it would be the tour I'm about to go on. Andrew Collin, Ari Findling, two of my favorite people. Because Andrew and I, you know our dynamic. I give him so much shit. You think I give Andrew shit? Ari gives Andrew so much more shit. And so it kind of lessens my shit giving. And everyone gets along better. And then also my dad is coming. And on the first show, also, Emil Joachim is going to be there, who's one of my favorite people. So that is kind of like my ideal tour. But if I could throw those other women that I mentioned into it, I would. It just doesn't work out that way, especially when you're doing four random gigs on the East Coast. And you can't pay some comics with that kind of TV credits. Like the people I'm bringing on the road with me, they're making money, but I can't give them. I wouldn't be able to afford a Rachel Feinstein. You know what I'm saying? Rosebud Baker. Do you guys know Rosebud? You've got to follow Rosebud Baker. She's so fucking funny. Karen Feehan, hilarious. I just want to be around really funny, fun people that make me feel safe and I have a good time with. Chris DiStefano, Kyle Dunnigan, David Spade. I mean, I hung out with them the other night, so they're fresh on my mind, but you know, all those people. Okay, continuing on. How are you single? Would you ever date a 21-year-old? I am single because I have intimacy issues and because I've really only been open to dating probably a handful of guys, and most of that handful were not available, and maybe that's why I was down to date them. Who knows? And would I ever, and also I'm really busy. I don't go on a lot of dates, and I didn't have a boyfriend until I was 24. I didn't kiss a boy until I was 18. I didn't have sex till I was 21. I'm not good at relationships. I've always been someone who doesn't really like let men in. So that's probably why. And I'm working on it. Would you ever date a 21-year-old? Probably. I'm not ruling it out. But I can't imagine that I would do that. And it's not because I don't think 21-year-olds couldn't be mature enough and great enough to date. But I think I would be too insecure as an older woman. And I would constantly feel old. And that's something I have to work on. Okay, what's your favorite Britney song? Oh, okay. It is probably Lucky, because I used to sing it as a young girl, and I always wanted to be able to sing that song and actually be living the song for some reason. Like when that song came out, when probably 98 or 99 is when I got into it, I would sing it and imagine like that's what I wanted my life to be, is like a really famous woman. Who, and I didn't want the part where she's like, no one loves her, but that's kind of what my life has become. Early morning, she wakes up. She makes some oatmeal with a scoop of protein. It's time for podcasts on her parents' porch. She dusted Rogan yesterday. Don't read the comments. Okay, I could keep going forever, but, yeah, Lucky is probably my favorite song. And then the second runner-up is I Was Born to Make You Happy, because it's ridiculous. It's a really good song, really good dumb pop song, but it's about a woman saying she was born to make someone happy. I mean, it's insane that song ever got made. My favorite color. I answer this question because it's so stupid. And the person put laughing emojis after it and she put yellow heart because I think I was doing a Britney Spears impression, and if you'd follow the whole Free Britney movement, one time someone commented, wear yellow in your next video if you need help, and she wore yellow. But she wears yellow all the time, so I don't really read into that. My favorite color is probably turquoise and pink. What age did it get? And I think that's a dumb question because it literally doesn't tell you anything about a person unless they're like, black. I only wear black. And then I guess it does tell you something about someone. I like pink and like aquamarine. But then I like, for cars, that's not what I want. I want like a black car. You know, like it depends on what you're talking about. What age did it get easy to let go and let your mind release all of the creativity? This is from Mike Swizzy, the comic. What age did it get easy to let go and let your mind release all of the creativity? I guess he's talking about like the fact that I just don't seem to have much of a filter. And I think that happened around on stage for me. That happened around the age of like 31, 2, 3, maybe 30. I had the show Not Safe by then. And I think by then I was like, yeah, this is just who you are. Yeah, I think that was it. It wasn't immediate. It took a really long time. For a while, I was really trying to be someone else. I was trying to be a comic that I was just trying to be Sarah Silverman, or I mean, I was trying to be her for a really long time. And then for a while, I don't even know who I was trying to be, but I didn't know who I was. I still don't know who I am. In terms of just letting it go, and I really honestly think I need to get back to being more regimented and trying to write like joke jokes, because I am really good at joke jokes. And I think I've gotten kind of lazy with it and just been like, oh, I can just get up there and just say whatever I want and just speak my truth. And that seems to work. But I do miss the art of joke writing, which tends to happen for me anyway, but if I focus a little bit more, it can be even more well-honed. So, good question. Linstagram27 asks, why did you transfer college? Sorry,
Why did you transfer colleges from Colorado to KU, and what did you study there? I transferred because I had a raging eating disorder my freshman year of Colorado, and I was very depressed, and I missed my family, and I missed my friends, even though my best friend I met my freshman year, and she's still one of my best friends, at Boulder. I abandoned her. I decided, I guess, in March of my freshman year to not continue at Colorado. And that was, I kind of regret that decision because I really loved Boulder. And I felt like everything that I remember learning in college and actually enjoying, like, the classes I enjoyed and where I was like, wow, I wouldn't have known that had I not been in that class. And it stayed with me forever. All of them happened my freshman year. Then I transferred to KU because my spring break of my freshman year at Colorado, I went to visit my friends at KU to go see their freshman experience. And that was the weekend that KU got into the Final Four in the year 2003, spring of 2003. And it was just the biggest party weekend. Everyone was in the best mood. The town lit up. And I was like, this is amazing. This is what KU is like. Like, it was just out of control fun. And I decided to transfer based on that experience, and it was never that good again. Favorite Dave Matthews Band album / song from Kevin Blaze. My favorite album is probably Before These Crowded Streets or Live at Red Rocks or, Live at Luther College with Tim Reynolds. But studio album, Before These Crowded Streets. My favorite song is probably Crush or Say Goodbye. And have I ever met Dave? Yes, I have. And it's, I met him at Sirius. Some of you probably heard the story. I was, my people at Sirius surprised me with it. He was coming into studio and I found out, I think the day before, the day of, that I was going to meet Dave Matthews. So I came back at I did my show until noon and then I came back at 5 to meet him. And we got to go to this listening party where he was debuting the new album and we were just going to listen to it in a room with him, get to meet him, take a picture, and then listen to his album with him. We press play and then you just watch him listen. And I was very excited. And I was just sitting in this room, not alone, but in my mind alone. I was probably with 15 people in a room with Dave Matthews. And he was being really funny and charming. And at one point, I was just so excited. I couldn't believe it. And at one point, I just got a little too excited. And he was like, so we only have time for one more song. You guys want to do something, smooth he was like, do you want to do something gritty and real, or you want to do something a little bit funky? And I was like, funky. I said it too loud. I was too excited about funky. I don't know, I didn't even care. I just wanted to answer him, and it was so, he literally ignored it. And Baba Booey, who was there from Howard Stern, had to put his hand on my shoulder to be calm down. From behind, I was sitting in front of him and he put his hand on my shoulder, take it easy. So that was when I met Dave. What part of your private life do you keep private? Well, wouldn't you like to know? I keep a lot private. Do I? Honestly, I just said that and I don't even believe it. On here, not much. But I do keep things private to protect other people in my life. So, I don't tell you guys everything about every interaction I have with men. I give you the broad strokes. I don't tell you about my family dynamics, all of the ins and outs. I don't talk really about there's nothing that I'm hiding, but I don't really talk about my sister because she's a teacher and I would rather not, and she has kids. Yeah, and then I can think of some other things that I really don't talk about. And I can't even tell you that I don't talk about them because they're so private. Okay. When did you become a Wilco fan? What album or song did you connect with first? I became a Wilco fan when my parents got into Wilco in 2007. And I really was not wanting to get into them because you don't want to be into what the music your parents are into, even though my parents have great taste in music and great taste in comedy. And they've gotten me into so many awesome, art. So much awesome. They got me into so many awesome art. Come on, Nikki. Aren't you trying to resonate with people? And but I, for whatever reason, they were so into Wilco, and they were like, this song, heavy metal drummer, I fell in love with drummer, I fell in love with drummer. My dad was always playing it like on guitar, and my sister got into it, and then she was going to concerts with them, and they were all, and I was just like not wanting to be into it. No, this was 2006, because I remember it was my senior year of college. Who gives a shit? I just, for whatever reason, my dad gave me the CD. I think A Ghost Is Born. And I heard, I am an American aquarium drinker, I'll assassin down the avenue. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And then that sealed the deal for me. And my favorite Wilco song is She's a Jar, because it's like so depressing. And the last lyric is so creepy. And just the song doesn't really end satisfyingly. And it's just... I don't know. I just, and Jeff Tweedy is like someone who really is good at expressing depression. And so I love him. When will we see you on Hot Ones with Sean Evans is the next question from Stefan W. When will we see you on Hot Ones? Which, that's the show where people eat hot wings. Now, let me tell you my story for this. I got asked to do that show in 2016 because I was promoting Not Safe with Nikki Glaser. And I didn't do it because I had an eating disorder at the time, in which I would not eat all day, and then I would kind of binge at night. And that show required you to eat, and I didn't want to. So I missed out on being one of the greatest shows, one of the most popular shows, the greatest shows to do. I don't know if it's one of the greatest shows. I don't put it up there with Veep and, like, The Wire. But, you know, it's, like, a huge show that I passed up on because I didn't want to eat. And that's just an example of when your mental illness can, like, really hold you back from experiencing a really cool, awesome, amazing things. And I think I argued that, like, oh, I'm vegan. And they were like, we'll make you vegan wings. And I was like, what the fuck? How do I get out of this? I think I just lied and said I was, like, sick that day or something. But it really boiled down to the fact that I just didn't want to eat anything that day. Because I think I had binged the night before, because I'd been starving the day before. Like, I used to just starve all day and then binge at night. And then the next day, if I had to, like, eat a meal with someone, because we had like a lunch date, I would just hate myself because I'm like, you don't deserve to eat. You ate too much last night. And I wouldn't really even be hungry because I ate so much. And so that's why I always eat breakfast now, and I always eat lunch, and I never skip meals, because otherwise I get into that habit where I binge, and then the next day I feel so bad I have to starve again, and then you just start this vicious cycle. So if you relate to that at all, which I bet so many of you do, it's really hard to do, but just start eating breakfast. Just start. I swear to God, it's not going to make you fat. I know you're like, no, if I eat breakfast, I'll just still eat as much at night. I know it. Maybe you will the first couple nights, but I promise you it will balance out, and then you'll be able to control your eating at night. Because I used to be you not that long ago. And if I was able to do it, someone who never ate breakfast for like 15 years of my life, I've eaten breakfast every single day, a big breakfast too, for me. Not just a bowl of oatmeal. I eat a lot more than that. I'm not going to go into specifics, but I eat a full breakfast and a full lunch every day. And it's hard to do as someone who loves, you know, intermittent fasting, which, by the way, someone asked, is intermittent fasting is just adult anorexia, which is what I've been saying this whole time. Yes, it is. So maybe intermittent fasting works for you, but I think it's stupid. What is your advice for someone looking to get into comedy right now? Oh, boy. Find whatever it is that you think is funny. What makes you laugh the most? And just try to do that in your way, you know? Like, if you're, or whatever you're good at, whatever people tend to say, that's so funny. When you get told you should be a comedian, which you shouldn't be a comedian unless people tell you you should be a comedian. Unless people, like, maybe you don't have friends telling you, or maybe you're just a good writer and you're shy, and so no one's going to tell you. But just, you know, look for the times you make people laugh. Start noticing those times, writing those times down, writing those thoughts down. Don't think you'll remember them later. Write it, literally just stop in mid-conversation and be like, oh, I have to just write something down I just remembered for later. You don't need to tell them I'm writing down a joke. And then turn that into something later. And because there's not that many shows right now and open mics, I would just start a YouTube channel, start a TikTok, start fucking Instagram, whatever you can to get it out there. Even if no one is watching, start a podcast. Even if no one's listening, just start a podcast. Talk to yourself like I'm doing. It doesn't matter that you guys are listening. I get to talk to myself, and this is, I'm performing right now. And if you do it enough, you get better. So that's what I would suggest. I got to go. We're 20 minutes in. One more question. What advice would you give? Okay, this is good. What advice would you have for someone going through dark, depressing, lonely times? And this is from Your Mad, Stay Mad, LMAO. Okay. Well, here's what I'm going to do. Because I am these things right now, right? Like, you guys have been in it with me. You know where I'm coming from. I decided last night I'm not fucking around anymore. And I am going to practice what I preach. And I just bought the book, or I've already had it, but I just started rereading the book, Feeling Good by David Burns. Now, if you don't know about David Burns, go watch the TED Talk by David Burns about depression and anxiety and so many other things. Even eating disorders, this kind of book helps. This is all CBT. This is cognitive behavioral therapy. And he's the one that kind of popularized CBT, which has been hugely successful in treating depression, as successful, if not more, than meds, which I am also going to do. But if you read his book, watch his TED Talk, and then I swear to God, you'll be convinced. Then get his book, Feeling Good. I just ordered the workbook, and I follow CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, on Reddit. And so I read a lot about it because I just know that I've given people advice to get that book before because I know that it works, and I've just been scared to do it because I'm like, oh, you won't do the full thing. You'll fail somewhere along the line, or it's not going to work for you, but it works for other people. It's just not true. I really do think it could work for me. I'm tired of just like waiting for something to click. I don't want to wait on meds to work. I mean, I'm going to do all of those things, but there's something I can do right now, which is read this book. That would really, really help. And if you read the book, the first chapter is all about how it works and why it works and what the evidence is that it works. So do it with me. Go do yourself a favor. CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. David Burns, look up the TED Talk, and the book is called Feeling Good. And this book has been out for years and years. I think he did an updated version, which is the one I have downloaded that I read on my phone. But he's coming out with a new book called Feeling Great, which is the updated version. And I'm so excited about it. I just pre-ordered it on Amazon last night, and I'm doing it. I'm going to read the book, and I'm going to do the exercises, and I'm going to change the way I think, because the way you feel is based on your thoughts. Feelings precede thoughts. Thoughts do not come from feelings. You don't think, oh, I want to kill myself because you're sad. When you think I want to kill myself, you get sad. So it's about looking at your thoughts, which is it's meditation based. I would also recommend meditating. First and foremost, I would recommend practicing meditation, which I recommend, if you haven't heard it before, the Waking Up app. My mom just downloaded it the other day. She got a free subscription. She wrote into them and said she couldn't afford it, which she can't because she doesn't have a job right now. You write support@wakingup.com, I think is the email, but it's if you go to the app store, it is in the paragraph about the app, Waking Up. If you write them, they'll give it to you for free for a year. And it right away, too. They write you right back. You get a code. There's a 28-day course. It used to be a 50-day course. I think it's a 28-day course. You just do a meditation every day. And then after you're done with the course, they give you a new meditation every day. There's also tons of lessons, one in which there's one called Working with Pain. That has been so helpful for any time I'm in pain to listen to. So anyway, Waking Up and the book Feeling Good, I'm going to talk about it extensively on the show because I'm going to be doing it. And I guarantee you it's going to change my life. I don't know why I've been sleeping on this for so long. And so that's what I would recommend you do because I'm going to do it too. So have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you to all the new listeners from Joe Rogan. Thank you for all your DMs about the Joe Rogan experience. Yeah, and let's all have a really good weekend. All right? Squirt, squirt. Jackpot.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.